Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/verbalshenanigans. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hello again, we are back.
How was that?
It was good. Very good acapella.
Thank you. But anyway, we are back again in Verbal Shenanigans here on episode 50-something or other, and good to be back as always. Hello, Michael Berlew.
What's up there, Scotty boy?
I don't know. I did not know that I was sitting next to TV debut actor Michael Berlew.
Yeah, that is correct.
You know, all this time, you know, you're saying the Berlews is here and the people love you and all that. I didn't know it was true.
Yeah, it's kind of an underground movement that I was working on, and now the word's out. There's nothing I can do now. I can only grow bigger and bigger.
So what's next? The next Star Wars movie? Are you an extra in that?
I don't know. I'm looking Shakespearean.
Shakespearean. Hamlet?
Maybe like some Romeo and Juliet. You know, I'm going to freestyle it, though. I don't think that Shakespeare guy knew what he was doing.
Now, what was this? Like, you mentioned it like in passing one time, and then really got into it.
It was last July. Melissa Allen from the Ghost cast. She,
I'm a ghost.
Melissa's dead?
No. That was my ghost impression.
Oh.
How was it?
Not as good as my gardener, but
not
still.
Not as good as my singing?
Yeah. So,
okay, go ahead.
You know, she contacted
the gardener is here.
Thank the crazy. Every week. Every damn week. But she contacted me. She's like, well, what are you doing? And she, you know, she's got connections. So she told me there was a taping over at the Sparta courthouse for something for Discovery ID. And that was coming off when I first went down to Maryland with Johnny Watson, where all you do is watch the Murder Channel. So I thought it was, you know, like, yeah, that's really cool. That's really cool. So
that is true. Let's preface that. Johnny Watson, comedian friend of ours, you know, has a room down in Ocean City, Maryland, and he does. You know, he claims that he watches the Murder Channel, and I've seen him at his house have it on here and there. But when we went down to Ocean City, Maryland, it's literally on, like, through the night. Like, yeah. The murder, like, while you're trying to sleep, you hear, like, Joey was left in a ditch. Like,
yeah, it's hard enough as is trying to sleep on that concrete floor and then add to it. Mm. You keep on thinking, what's that knock at the door?
Anyway, continue.
So, she gave me a date, and I was ready to go down there. And the day before, she's like, hey, do you have a suit? I'm like, yeah, I got a suit. She's like, that's great. Can you wear it to the taping? Because the guy who was going to play the defendant had to back out at the last minute. So I showed up in my suit and tie, strolled in. They're like, yeah, you're perfect. And I just sat down next to the lead actress who played the murderer. And as we went along, they're like, let's have you... I'll tell you what, why don't you say a line? Why don't you... call her to the stand, and that was the one that kept in the system. We were taping for about probably there for like 7 hours or so. Melissa was a juror. They pretty much cut her out of it. Henry Cummings was shown as a juror.
Can you, for our fans that are now falling, can you do your line for us real quick? Can you recreate it?
Defense calls Mary Thompson to the stand.
Unbelievable.
Were you there?
I also found another clip of you that got cut out.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. You got it from the ID Discovery Channel?
Okay, okay. Bastard.
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
The court will wait for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
If Lieutenant Kendrick gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, then why did he have to be transferred? Colonel? Lieutenant Kendrick ordered.
This is really good, Barlow.
Because that's what you told Lieutenant.
How did they cut this much?
You cut these guys loose,
Your Honor. You have margins inside a bony transport.
Your Honor, you doctored the logbook.
You coerced the doctor.
Consider yourself in contempt. I just got in the moment, and I said to myself, "No, I gotta be."
I mean, you're up there with the greats.
Yeah, I have to be the defendant.
I mean, listen to how this escalates.
Did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
God, bro, you're
the
good.
Truth. You can't handle the truth.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded
See,
by men.
Funny fact, the line was, I want to know what exactly happened, but I ad-libbed and I said, I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth. I mean, it's just, you sound great there.
Yeah.
So anyway, like,
I don't know how I got rid of that accent for that, but, I just got in the mood.
You said you didn't even know it was up, right, until the other day.
Because the whole story was we taped it and we asked, you know, when they're going to air, and they talked about, you know, it's a long process, there's editing and all that fun stuff. They
Who's
didn't really know.
It? You. You, Lieutenant Weinberg.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead. Just having Jack Nicholson every once in a while pop in is kind of amusing.
It's great you got him on the podcast. To do a live reading.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. So we asked him, you know, when is it coming out? And we didn't even get, like, a clear idea what the name of the show was. So I was texting Melissa. She was talking to some of the people who were on the set. And the cop that was there, he didn't really have any idea. They gave a name that wasn't the name of the show, so I was, like, DVRing that show, waiting for my moment, and it didn't happen.
So you watched, like, seasons worth of a show that you...
But,
I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Anyway.
So, you know, asking, and we came to the conclusion, like, all right, maybe it just never made the cut. They did scrap the episode, whatever. This last Tuesday, sorry, I was doing one of my tweet fests. I was actually on Google Plus. I don't know who the hell's on Google Plus, but I was on Google Plus to put the link for the latest episode. And somebody who used to work for my company, who was a receptionist, out of the blue, just IMs me. Hey, weird question. Were you, like, a lawyer in a Discovery ID episode, like, 2 months ago? And I was like, oh, shit. What was the name? Where did it go? I don't know. I don't.
You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. That Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives.
You nailed it, man. You really nailed it.
I know. I'm just in the zone today.
But anyway, how did you find it? Like,
She sent me a link, and it wasn't the correct episode. In fact, they told the story twice. That was kind of a funny thing. One of the reasons why I thought it wasn't going to air, because when we were trying to search for it, I Googled the woman's name. I did Mary Thompson, Discovery ID, and another show came up. And basically what we taped was just the same episode with a different theme. And I asked about it, like, yeah, apparently they do that a lot. They just recycle stories. And then finally I found the name and I started searching for it on YouTube, and I can only get that little square
little screen
box
on the side.
Yeah.
So if people want to see Michael Burrow's acting debut, what do they search?
Let me find out.
Okay.
You don't want the truth, because deep down in places you don't talk about
Jack.
At parties. You want me on that wall.
You want me,
you
on,
need
that wall.
Me on that wall.
You need me on that wall.
We use words like honor.
Honor.
Code.
Code.
Loyalty.
Loyalty.
We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination
to... Okay, I'm ready.
God, that's so good. That's such a good scene.
If you want to search for me on YouTube, it's I'd Kill For You, Season 2, Episode 8, the Crusader's son.
Yes, and where can we find you? If I believe I'm correct, it's the 39th minute around? We could see
yes, the 39th minute after they arrested Mary Thompson, they bring her into the courtroom.
Oh, that Mary Thompson, that bitch.
Yeah.
Jeez. I watched it. You actually got a decent amount of airtime for that those couple minutes.
Yeah. They kept coming back. Did you see my acting moment where they said she was found guilty and I kind of winched my eyes and looked down.
You're all clean shaven in a suit. You look good, man. What happened?
Then she, well, it was part of being a lawyer. It's hard to come in there.
Hey, I'm the lawyer. I reckon she didn't do it.
I'm also the gardener.
Mrs. Thompson, did things get crazy at the Cardassians?
Well, anyway, man, I think that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
My little neat little moment. Hopefully I can do some more of those, but I haven't talked to Melissa in a while for various reasons. But who knows?
Yeah.
I could put something on my resume of comedy and acting.
Yeah, you got the gardener, you got the
Nickelodeon podcast.
Did you kill that dolly?
Oh, my God, I want to fucking drown myself.
He rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide, and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Anyway, got a good show today. I got a good show today.
Yeah, another interesting guest, man.
Yeah, Brother, you know I like the outdoors. You know I'm an outdoorsy guy. I like the forest. In fact,
you like the poison ivy on your foot?
I do love the poison ivy on my foot. Now, if it was only on my foot, I would be happy, but it spread its way to my upper, like, hip area, like, very close to
groin edge?
Yeah, little Brennan. And
don't worry. I'll just ask your girlfriend to put on a hockey outfit.
You don't want
to worry about that.
Right. Deflate that right away. And it's made way to my right butt cheek. I got some on my right butt cheek.
You
got to
wipe better, man. You should use the Charmin.
Hey, Charmin. We tweeted you today.
I didn't think of that, but thank you.
But I always been around the outdoors. I grew up in scouts, been camping. I always go up the Adirondacks. My current house is facing the woods as we speak. One thing I loved about this property is, you know, I get to see bears. Well, actually, as I am looking out the window, there's a deer right there staring at me, right over there on the left there. He's cute.
But let's eat them.
I mean, deer are like raccoons up here. They're everywhere. But, you know, like one time I came out here and I saw two bear cubs climbing trees. And, you know, Obi losing his mind. I'm like, those things will F you up, man.
Mm-hmm.
You said you saw a bear on the way here?
Yeah, I was driving down my back roads. And I was coming along. I was near a bridge. And sure enough, on the left-hand side, I just see a bear just waddling around, walking out. And I thought it was so cool. I'm like, oh, this is a neat little moment. I'm just going to turn around and take a picture of the bear because it'll keep my distance. It'll be cute and whatever. And, of course, with my luck, I turned around on his foot. He didn't really like it that much.
Hey, bear.
All right, I'll tweet you. But as I turned around, of course, three other cars come the other direction. So I get behind them, and I can't even see the bear because everybody stopped. I could see they got their camera phones out taping the bear. So it's like I can't even see the bear now. So aww. I had to turn around and go home with no bear pictures.
You went home bare-handed?
Yes.
Yep. But, I've seen a lot of bears up here. One time I was up in the Poconos. And I was on a golf cart on it was basically a campground, and I'm driving down the road back to the campground because you had to go. That's a funny story. I might as well tell that too. Right. I don't know if it was the same time, but they call it the comfort station, which is a bathroom. And, I go down to the comfort station and, I take a drop of deuce, and I didn't know that you had to bring toilet paper to the comfort station. So I look around, nothing, no paper towels, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I, being the resourceful Boy Scout I am, I uh, I went home with two less socks that day.
Oh.
Wasn't that bad? Socks kind of soft.
Okay.
You know, just had to make sure I got it all. But anyway, so I'm driving back from the comfort station. I don't know if these are two separate times, but I'm driving back, and this gigantic black bear just walks right in front of the golf cart, like maybe 15 yards from me, and I like slam on the brakes. I'm like, holy shit. And he just walks, doesn't even look at me. That was pretty cool, too. I'm actually thinking about getting a bear tattoo.
Really?
Because I love bears. I could show you the... Let me see if I can bring it up. But I just love bears. I don't know why. I actually went to see
Big hairy gay men?
Yeah.
That'd be great if you got a tattoo of that.
Just like on my back.
No, fatter.
I actually...
Hairier.
Like bears so much that I randomly... I went to see bears in the movies. The Disney movie, the documentary about bears.
Really?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was pretty cool, man. I mean...
What would you pick? Bears or the Beach Boys?
I'd go with bears. Bears are way cooler, man. Beach Boys, a lot of drugs and
depression.
And, well,
the picnic
Yogi
baskets.
Bear was always a little weird.
He was kind of a dick.
I mean, he stole picnic baskets.
Ranger Smith, man. He's just trying to do his job. And
was it Ranger Smith?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, boo-boo. But yeah, that's,
right, boo-boo.
That's what I was thinking of getting there. This fierce ass watercolor looking bear. Yeah.
Intriguing.
Yeah, we'll see. But where is I going with the bear conversation? Probably segueing
really.
Into our next guest. But anyway, you know,
so
I like
the
to...
bears are in the woods, and this guy.
Well, yes. if you've listened to the show, you know that we kind of the goal as the show keeps evolving is not only to just get comics on, because, you know, comics are funny, but it's really to just find interesting people, like to find people who, in all walks of life so far, you know, it's been competitive eaters, hippo attack survivors, just recently Leon Rainbow, graffiti artist, mm-hmm. the chef, I don't know, who else?
Pool player,
a soccer player.
A guy who dresses like a president.
Teddy Goldsville, you know, so it's just like kind of evolving, and we got some...
Really weird guests, Doug Max.
Yeah, Jews, you know.
Check complete.
But we, you know, we reach out to people, like, we basically now have a, was it a Microsoft Word file or an Excel?
Yeah,
of
Excel.
And basically what we've been doing at the end of, you know, not every podcast or... Every couple podcasts, we just sit here after we're done, and we just spitball ideas on who can we get, who can we get, who can we reach out to, what kind of guy. And we've had things like we tried to reach out to the inventor of Doritos.
Yeah, he was dead. We sent a message to Doritos, but they have their own kind of.
It'd be great if you went to his. The cemetery, and it was just like a big chip was his tombstone.
Dipping in heaven, baby. Dipping in heaven.
But actually, what I scrounged up this week, took a little back and forth communication, is a man named Darren Hudson. Darren Hudson. Michael Burley, you know who Darren Hudson is?
Did he discover the Hudson River?
No. Guess again.
That would have been cool.
Guess again.
Was he the guy who... In Hudson Hawk. That was a good movie with Bruce Willis.
Hudson Hawk? I don't even know that
you
one.
You don't remember that one with Sandra Bernhardt?
No. How old is that? Is that like pre-Die Hard? Or?
I think that was in middle of 2 and 3. I had to guess.
Don't know that one. Don't know one. But no. Darren is a he is a world champion lumberjack.
Oh, I was going to guess something else from our list. Did he do the truffle shuffle on the Goonies?
We'll go over that list after we talk to Darren. But
all right.
I feel akin to lumberjacks a little bit. I, you know, I like having a beard. My favorite color is flannel. You know, I like flannel. So let's try to get him on the line right now.
All
right, here we go. Logger. Darren Hudson joining us on the podcast, hopefully.
Yo, Scott.
Hey, is this Darren Hudson, world champion lumberjack?
Yes, hey man, how you doing?
Good, how you doing? I'm this is Scott here. This is my buddy Michael Berlew.
How's it going, sir?
Yes, good, my man.
How can you hear us? Nice and clear, loud and clear, everything
well,
good?
Well, not right loud.
Oh, hold on, I can give you some more volume here. Hold on.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that better? Is that better?
How's that?
Sounds all right.
I can give you more. I can give you more.
Yeah, sure. Yep. If that works for you, it works for me. Thanks. Yeah, I'm a lumberjack. I run some heavy machinery, so.
That's true.
Oh, my
That's
first true. Question, were chainsaws loud? Oh, damn. This interview is ruined.
What?
But anyway, Darren, I just, you know, we were just having a conversation about bears here and how, you know, we're out here in New Jersey and I actually live in Northwest Jersey and I get a lot of bears in my backyard. And I was actually thinking about getting a bear tattoo, but I don't know if it compares
to... On your bear what?
On my bear bottom.
Ooh.
Well, if you can bear it, I suppose.
Oh, God.
I can't. This is unbearable.
That's very nice of you. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to use my bare hands and turn up the volume a little bit. And but anyway, Darren, welcome to the show. So we are broadcasting. Are you in Nova Scotia right now?
I am.
Wow.
That's where I be.
Ooh. This is our you would appreciate this. We had a hippo attack survivor on the show a couple weeks ago.
Ah.
Yeah, and he lost it.
Appreciate that for sure.
Yes, and he was a tour guide in South Africa, and he ended up losing an arm and barely surviving. It was pretty cool. But I figure he was our first overseas guest, even though he called us from Detroit.
Yeah.
But you are our first technical guest from another country. So how does that make you feel?
Feels like I'm just across the pond from you, actually, bud. Like, as the crow flies, I guess that's not too bad. Actually, my first gig in the States was in East Rutherford, New Jersey. I worked over there my first lumberjack show.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. So we go way back.
Right. Up by Giant Stadium?
Yeah. No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you were there. That was the year Jersey won the cup.
Oh.
The cup of what?
Jersey. Devils. The Devils.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. 95. I'm a big
Devil. Your guess is as good as mine.
Oh, man, I'm well, thinking. Well,
wait a minute. The Canadian guy doesn't know what the hockey trophy is?
Yeah.
Well, see, I'm thinking, like, my mind's in lumberjack set right now. So I'm thinking, like, is there a lumberjack set? And is there a New Jersey team that won the Lumberjack Cup? Yeah. I have no clue what you were talking about there for a second.
The Tour de Jack.
But I happen to be a huge Devil fan. We had a great 10-year run there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you guys were a strong team.
We were. But anyway, Darren, let's talk about who you are a little bit. Let's talk about who you are. So you are a legit lumberjack, correct?
Absolutely. It runs deep in my veins.
You got to explain that a little bit. First off, did you grow up in Nova Scotia or?
Yep. My family, we've been immersed in the lumberjack industry for five generations. My great-great-grandfather started his own mill here and right here on the Barrington River. So like that's the area that we live in and they've run the logs down from out of the forest after cutting them down all winter and right on down to the sawmill and doing the whole river drive thing and sawing them up into lumber and boat planks and shipping them off to local fishing industries and barns and, you know, lumber stuff.
That's awesome. Like,
yeah.
So you just like grew up around lumber basically all the
That's
time.
That's right. Yeah. I played in the lumber mill when I was young and running around down there when all the wheels and pulleys were going around and never got torn in two, but used to roll around in the sawdust pile. That was great fun. Usually after a swim or something in the river.
So, yeah. Like, where you grew up, is it, like, extremely, you know, covered in woods, or is it, like, did you have to drive out to, like, a lumber mill at all?
Oh, man, no. We're on a river, so you just head up river, and we got some pretty nice timber up here. My family owns about 5,000 acres, and we maintain it for, like, the whole length of our, you know, we bought land and traded land and everything, but, yeah, we've been logging, like, for eons up here, and it's pretty pristine, actually. Like, it's not, like, a clear cut or anything like that. It's a integral part of our family history.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
So, like, you're growing up, like, near lumber. Like, when does this become, like, anything but a business. Like, obviously, that's the breadwinning part of it. But there's got to be some kind of interest to it, too, to, like, do eventually what you ended up doing.
I'll tell you how it all started. And it's, like, I mean, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty authentic, I guess. It's true blue lumberjack style. Like, I mean, the skills that my family learned, like, from cutting down the trees and riding them down the rivers. Well, I mean, you know, we'd be working in the woods all winter long, and we'd get the logs down through these river drives to the sawmill pond. And there's old videos of my uncles and stuff, and they'd be rolling in this mill pond just, you know, to show off their skills. And and there was tournaments around, you know, competitions and meets and stuff like that. So they'd go around to these and, you know, compete and stuff. I mean, it wasn't big for around here back then, but eventually in the 60s, my uncle, he ventured out to Montreal for the centennial canoe race celebration for, like, our nation's centennial birthday. And anyway, he won a big competition out there log rolling, and the guys, he was a cat. He was a cat on a log, this guy. And they invited him to the world championships, and he ended up winning that the next year. And boom, we're into the big time. So we started from there. So when I grew up, of course, I always had the dream of, you know, being a champion log roller, and I stuck with it through all the bumps and the bruises and got there.
Now, is that just like a natural talent as you're doing the work at the sawmill, or do you have to like actually train to do like a competition for something like that?
Well, let me tell you, if you don't have the in you, you know, if it doesn't run deep in your blood, like, I don't know, like, it never seems to stick with anybody. There, you know, it's an instinctual thing. You got to be woodsy, right? You just got to be woodsy. And those who are, they really shine in the sport, and they really take to it. And, you know, training in the gym is just not the same thing. But you do have to train if you want to hone your skills. Mm-hmm.
Now, no, like, that whole, like, seeing guys ride down the river with longs, like, is that still a practice today, or is that, like kind of old school?
It's unfortunately a way of the past, you know, but, yeah, but, I mean, like, those guys, that it was extreme. I mean, they used to bring those logs down through the rapids and everything. Of course, they'd get in all jammed up in the rocks and the churns, and the water would push up these logs, and then be this huge dam, and they'd have to go out there and roll them off, and and then all hell would break loose, and they'd have to get out of there. So look out. Here she comes. She's going to go.
So most boys in Canada are idolizing Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
You're idolizing log roller uncle, you know,
all,
like,
these dudes that risk life and limb in the cold, frigid waters. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Oh yeah, big time. There are some legends in the sport for sure, and the industry around.
Who's like the Wayne Gretzky of lumberjacking?
Well, it's hard to say.
You're pretty up there. After I did my research,
Phil Scott, 9-time world champion log roller. He'd have to be the one, but I definitely have other legends as well that have made names for him, that have left Nova Scotia in the 30s and 40s and paved the way for a lot of us. But Uncle Phil, he was exceptional for sure. He was in the Guinness Book of World Records for some of his accomplishments for lengthy log rolls. And he was over in Japan, and they couldn't touch him, you know, so they eventually give up.
You know, we could have took that conversation in such a different angle right there, but we won't.
yeah, that's right. Yeah. We're known for our hardwood, that's for sure. Yeah, we cut the wood.
So now, did you, like, with all this, like, you know, lumberjacking in the family, like, did you go to school during the day, or, like, what, you know, did you go all the way through school, or did you spend a lot of time just, you know,
all the way through? Yeah, no, of course. Then paved my way through university, I guess, doing the sport. But then, of course, I pursued it professionally just after that, because I didn't have a great desire to, you know, do the mainstream thing. So traveled the world, And I was fortunate enough to be able to, you know, finance myself around. And it, I chased it down to New Zealand, Australia,
wow,
later into Europe and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, there's a circuit. There's a league. It's a legitimate sporting organization. And right now it's growing, too. So there's a lot of opportunity for people out there.
That's where I was going to kind of get to. Where does this become, like, where does it go from hobby to, you know, you know, holy crap, I could actually make something of myself by doing these kind of things. Like, how do you start getting into that? Is it, do you start competitions?
Well, through my company, Wild Axe Productions and Wild Axe Sports, I am developing the infrastructure right here, right now, so that to help people. Like, I've been in this for 20 years, and I'm basically passing it along right now. I want to see the sport grow here in Canada and in the United States, like closer to home here, because it's getting really big in Europe right now, and they got their training camps, and they're really, you know, we got the sponsors with Steel and everything, and they're trying to, you know, boost the interest, and they're getting the fans, and they're getting the live coverage on TV over there. And they all dream of the vast forests of North America. They love it. It's a fascinating organization. But the truth is, the sport's been here for so long that a lot of us take it for granted, and we don't really, you know, make sure that we, you know, we provide quality training facilities. And that's what I have. I have a, you know, a beautiful spot that people can come and train, and we're developing more competitions and reason and letting people know that, hey, there's money in this and we're catching a lot of attention. So let's run with it and make sure that when people think of us as the best, that we, you know, we're the best, right? So
that's interesting. Like, when you started, was it just yourself teaching stuff, or did you have to get people? Like, I know there's like different categories with, like, with axe play and the chainsaw and the log rolling. Did you have to bring in other people? Is that all in your specialties, or what?
Axe play. That sounds sexy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, really. Woo, taking this conversation to a new level. We have sought out the best in our industry. Like when I trained, I always went to New Zealand to train with David Bolstad, Jason Winier, the best choppers in the industry. Up in Quebec, we have JP Mercier. He's the best bow sawyer cross cutter in the world. And then also now down in West Virginia, there's the Cogers that are coming on strong, and up in upstate New York, there's a few young kids that are coming on strong there as well. So, I mean, the sport is strong on the East Coast here, and then, of course, around the world. So I'm a good teacher as far as I've learned from the best, but and I know who they are. I can guide you to the best. And I know everybody in the industry. So if you want to take it further, I can send you on your way.
Well, you know, like, I'm going through a big transition period in my life, and I'm, you know, I love the woods and the outdoors. Like, maybe I'll take you up on that. I'm just going to leave this all behind and become a freaking professional lumberjack.
Yeah?
Yeah, man. I got a beard.
You got a beard?
I do.
All right.
I
so, do.
I have a lot of flannels that are, like, 10 years old.
There you go. You know? Yeah. How are you with so I'm gonna unleash the lumberjack within.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want it.
Yeah, there is a lumberjack inside of you, and once you discover the advantages to letting go,
I like this. Give it to me.
Tap into your wild side. You're gonna release your wild axe.
Yeah, I'm not that much coordinated. Do you guys need any, like, computer programmers in this field or something like that?
Yeah, right on. Well, don't worry about it. I've been often coined as the most coordinated, uncoordinated man on the planet. So,
do you have?
I can work with you there too.
Do you have for Mike here? Do you have like child safe axes and?
Yeah. Do you have like rubber saws?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, shoot. He's doing really well with that rubber axe.
Yeah.
Really chopping away.
Almost got a piece of that bark.
Now,
yeah, that's right.
So, like, when did you start?
Barking up the wrong tree there, I'd say. better start stick to the hard keys.
When did you start, like, doing competitions and, like, actually seeing, like, any kind of profit or reward from it? Like, when did that start?
Age 17, I started out, like, right out of high school. I traveled. Like I said, my first gig was East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Wow.
And yeah,
25 minutes from where I am right now.
Yeah, that was quite a jump into the Shark Tank for me, actually. Coming from Nova Scotia, I gotta admit that was quite a cultural experience for me.
You think
like it was people... it was July 4th too, celebrations, and you know, of course, in the States things go off way bigger than what I was ever used to, of course. And
you know, people are afraid of like your territory of bears and wild animals. Just spend a weekend in New Jersey around July 4th, and that's way scarier.
You'll lose fingers faster that way.
Yeah. I can identify with animals and their characteristics and what they want more than people, because you know, people are a lot more unpredictable and you can get yourself into more volatile situations, of course.
Absolutely. So you start in Jersey, and is this where like the seed is planted, like I can do this for a living, or like, you know?
Yep.
Yep. So where'd you go from there?
Well, you know, I pursued the world championships. I went up to my buddy's place up in Upper Michigan, actually, and old friend of the family's there, and trained with him. He pretty well destroyed me, Big Dan McDonough. He is a ferocious man on the log, and he tore me to pieces and put me everywhere, upside down and sideways, and I could barely even walk when he was done with me because he destroyed me. And it was the best training partner I ever had in my life. There's not a guy that knows the game better than that man, and I attribute a lot of my success to that summer for sure. You know, I didn't that first year, I actually squeaked out a fifth place victory. I don't know how I got there in the pro division of log rolling, and it was pretty epic for me. Like the guys that I did match up against, it just worked out, I guess. I made fifth, but after that, I didn't get a second place finish until 99. I never won my big match until 2002. So I've had a lot of hard knocks along on the road, but those are all character builders. And
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. That's as important as anything.
Now, when you went through the train, did you find there were certain things that you had to learn, as in wasn't like natural to when you were learning the whole lumberjack thing through your family? Was there any new ways?
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, of course. Like, and when you're, you know, I traveled a lot on my own and with other people, like, you know, throughout the industry there, the sports circuit. And yeah, no, for sure. These guys meant business, and I had to up my game big time. But thankfully I had, you know, the passion and the drive and the instinctual knowledge of the sport. Like, it's ingrained in me. And that's like something that if you have that, you know, you close your eyes and you can feel it inside of you. And that's something that's aligned in the genes, you know, it's a pedigree. So, and it's, that's for sure. Like, if you don't have that, you're not going to have that drive and confidence.
Now, Darren, how does it work like with the competitions? I'm getting some feedback on your end. Does it work like you can be just a log roller? Is it like an all around, like where there's multiple competitions? Like how does that work? Is it just log rolling championships, or is it like, I know you do a couple different things. I watch some of your videos, but like how does that work?
Well, actually, a lot of people aren't what you'd call an all-around lumberjack. Like most people typically have the divisions that they compete in, you know, like they're either chopper sawyers, and then there's a lot of tree climbers, and that's what they do is they stick to that aspect of things. Like basically in the industry, it would be, you know, the guys that would be the cutters and the sawyers. And then there's the tree climbers. They were the high riggers. They'd set up all the lines in the trees to, you know, if they had to winch stuff out of the forest floor and all that kind of stuff. And then there was the river drivers, and they would inevitably be the log rollers in the water sports, you know. So that typically happens. But I don't know. I believe if you're going to be a true lumberjack, you know, you can do it all. Like, you know, you're going to. And I love every discipline there is. I think it's all, you know, art and physics and science of the wood and versus, you know, desire and strength and skill. So I do it all, and I make sure, like, if I go into a competition, you know, depending on the stakes, like I'll enter about 10 or 12 events, and sometimes there are, some of them are back to back, so they're right. kind of a endurance
but
thing.
Is that how it's broken down, like it's individual event, or is it like an overall thing?
Yeah, there's usually like what they call a bull of the woods. So you're vying for the overall top position.
Wait,
you know,
bull of the woods.
Yeah,
that's the greatest title I've ever heard in my life.
It would be, wouldn't it? If you are the bull of the woods, who's going to stand in your way?
God, Scott Brennan, teacher. Look, Scott Brennan, bull of the woods. That sounds way better.
Yeah,
way better.
Yeah, that is it. Legendary status right there. Yeah, no, I've so that's something I go for, and that's what I teach with Wild Axe, you know, sports here is the well-roundedness of all the, you know, what all the attributes of the lumberjack, and that's like we concentrate on fire building, tree falling, log rolling, tree climbing, bow saw, cross cut. And then axe throw, the beloved axe throw.
I'm feeling my inner lumberjack coming out just talking to you. I want to run into the woods right now.
Well, we just hosted a competition today, and it was axe throw, and we had some. It was an amateur day, and yeah, we had some phenomenal talent just come out of the woodwork, and guys were winning prize money, and so that's the type of thing we're doing. We're going setting up these events. We're enabling people. To live out the sport, and we're facilitating their lumberjack needs and getting them equipped with the gear because I'm a distributor, and they're winning money and they're having fun. Now all of a sudden they got the bug, you know, so it happens. That's how fast it can happen.
Yeah, I saw a picture on your Facebook, right? It was like Canada Day or something like that.
Oh.
Hello?
I'm losing you, Scott.
Yeah, I'm losing you, too. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hang up and call you right back. We'll reconnect.
All right. Okay, cool. Yeah, that works. All right.
Yo.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I think we're better now.
There we go.
You started breaking up.
Okay. Sweet.
All right. So the axe drawing, so that's like a catching competition, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right. Scott, let's try it in the backyard.
Yeah, but, don't be on the receiving end, that's for sure. Yeah,
I go first.
Yeah. Damn it.
But
if
what
there's
I was
a
saying,
coin toss, throw first.
I saw on your Facebook it was like Canada Day or something like that, and you had like axe throwing going on.
Yeah. That's you're pretty current, man.
I am. I do my research.
Sweet. Yeah, so no, it was cool. It was awesome. It was hardcore. We had a good day.
Now, Darren, I was looking through some of your videos. You were on David Letterman at one point.
Yep, that's right. I wound myself up onto Dave Letterman there.
Now, how the hell did that happen?
I don't know. I really, I was in the sport. I was top one and two, and they picked me. So me and this the other guy who was top guy in the all around competitions. They were called the Iron Jacks at the time. So they wanted to do, like I say, all the log rolling, the tree climb, and the chopping. So to show the whole, you know, well-versed aspects of the sport. So they chose us, and it was awesome. It was really rad. We was on there for, you know, 8 minutes, and it was a big day.
8 minutes is a lot of time on a Letterman,
yeah, really.
On a late night show. It really is.
So how do we compare to Letterman right now?
Just the same. Yeah.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Yeah, you went from Letterman to Verbal Shenanigans Podcast.
Actually, this is going way smoother, I gotta say.
Oh, cool.
There's a lot of mishaps in that program. It was nerve-wracking there for sure.
Speaking of mishaps, what's the worst injury you ever suffered?
Oh, accidents?
Yes.
Ooh,
accidents.
Yeah, no.
Accidentes.
Not just a splitting headache, right?
Yeah.
This episode's going to be pun the interview.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we try to be punny, you know. So,
but go on.
The most stitches I've acquired during one event was 50 in to the face.
Nice.
With an axe.
Ooh.
Whoa, yeah, no, we're using these 5.5-pound razor sharp bracing axes, and I was doing the underhand chop. This isn't an event that we do, like, you know, for the public. This is something you got to train for years. Anyway, I made a miscalculation in my cutting pattern, and on one of the last swings, I loaded up with all the power I had. I thought I had a lot of wood to cover, like it blast through a big chunk of wood. It turned out to be a toothpick, and that axe had no resistance when I went through the wood. It swung up behind my back, and whammo, slams me blade first in the face because I turned and met the axe in the lips.
Ooh. Yeah. You have a nice sweet scar on your lips now?
I do. Funny enough, I have two. It hit and it ricocheted and vibrated off my teeth there. Oof. Felt like a sledgehammer came and struck me in the face. Yeah, so anyway, plastic surgeon put me back together and I was off chopping the next day.
There you go. That's a real lumberjack
right
there.
That's Canadians for you, man.
Well, it wasn't that bad. I mean, it was only in my face, right? So
you don't use that.
They don't tell you with...
I lost a date that night, but whatever.
Anybody tell you with a beard you kind of look like Hugh Jackman a little bit?
Yeah, that's what somebody said.
Yeah, dude, I was looking at your video.
I got to groom myself a bit more, I guess.
No, you definitely not. You got to go for the scruffy Logan vibe, Wolverine.
That's right.
But so where has this taken you now? You mentioned a couple places. So lumberjacking has taken you all over this planet, apparently.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, a few places, I guess. You know, the sky's the limit. Like, it's wherever you want to pursue it, right? And I want to take it, you know, in the fun direction right now. Well, actually, I'm building the sport too, but I choose some good gigs here and there. You know, I grab some fun ones later in my career. But earlier in my career, I was, of course, down in Australia, New Zealand in our winter season.
Now,
chasing the circuit down there and alligators and, you know, sharks and stuff.
Now,
and then, China, and I was over there for a bit.
Now, I went to, when I was in Alaska, they had like, you know, like a lumberjack show in town. It was definitely like a
tourist. Ketchikan?
Yeah, Ketchikan, exactly, yep.
I worked there.
You worked there, huh? Ooh. I wonder if you were there when I was there.
Well, 2002, 2003.
No, I was 2011.
Oh, yeah.
But, so, obviously, those are, like, just to have fun with people and bring people in, and they're, you know, they're advertised all over the place. How are those? Just fun events, or, like, do they actually... get pretty serious in there too. I didn't go.
Well, no, I mean, like those guys are pretty good up there for sure. Oh yeah, no, and they in Alaska, of course, there used to be a huge money and big serious competition with the guys that were, you know, the loggers of the day back up in there, you know, and the different camps would come out, you know, for celebrations throughout the year and stuff, especially July 4th. That was a huge one. I still think they have that one up around Juneau or something. And back then there was big money and it was real serious stuff. And it was, you know, like a tough guy type scene.
Right.
And not so honed and, you know, they didn't necessarily have the best gear. But they were, you know, definitely showing face and not wanting to relent to anybody. And it was, you know, a struggle of pride.
Now,
throughout the logging camps, you know, and the best guy would show up and they'd do battle. So, yep, no, the guys up there, they're in a good spot. But there's not the competitions there anymore. And that's the sad thing. I mean, lumberjack sports is great. Like, there's got to be more of it.
Now, have you ever come across a guy where you talk about, hey, I do lumberjacking that's like a little obnoxious, you just swing an axe, I can do that, blah, 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 and just just hand over a piece of equipment and say, go to town, buddy, and just watch him go?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there you go, bud. Let's see what you got. Yeah. Well, you know, you know how it is. You know how it is. There's guys that talk the talk and they're all ego and stuff. But when push comes to shove, they don't usually show up, right? So,
right.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I mean, they don't show up. So you got to really bring it. And really, the guys who are successful in the sport, you know, they're not, you know, full of hairy back and, you know, 6'10" and, you know, crush you when they shake your hand and stuff. They're, you know, usually they're pretty serious guys. They watch their diets and stuff, and they, you know, they're healthy and they, you know, have good cardio and stuff like that. They're not just these monsters of the forest.
Mm-hmm. What's the community like? Are you guys like super competitive, or are you like pretty much all, does everyone get along? Like, how is that?
Oh yeah. No, there's a great respect and camaraderie amongst the lumberjack athletes, of course, because I mean, hey, we're a small sport still, you know, in all regards. We know everybody. We know who's out there. A lot of people have known each other for generations, and that paves the way through the opportunity for us to, you know, hang out after the competition's over. If we're traveling, you know, out on the West Coast, we'll stay at a buddy's place and go to work with them in the week or something like that, go in the woods, check out their camp, and you know, and learn and immerse yourself in the culture. And that's the beauty of our sport. Like, we're a good bunch. You know, I mean, you get your jerks out there, of course, too, that you don't care to deal with, but right. But for the most part, there's a lot of respect because, you know, I mean, like I said, like there's in the tree climbing, I know four guys that have died doing that, you know, in the log rolling, there's guys that have come and gone and hurt themselves through the years, and the chopping, I've seen guys lose toes, and I've seen guys get cut from, you know, falling out of springboard trees. And, you know, there's a lot of respect. If you're going to do this, you know, seriously, you know, you have to be a little bit courageous, you know, and it takes a special breed. So
now, yeah. I got a question for you. Kind of off topic here, but in the United States now, there seems to be a trend where everyone likes to pretend that they're looking like a lumberjack. A lot of beards, a lot of flannel, a lot of gelled hair. You guys just laugh at those guys? Because I do. I mean, you guys have to be like, look
I
at these.
I just let it be. I just let it be. You know, I mean, I'm a little flattered, right? I'm a little flattered, but it's definitely nowhere near, you know, true blue lumberjack whatsoever.
No,
these guys don't have any sawdust in their teeth at any given time of day, so... Yeah, so it doesn't affect me. It's just like, all right, you know, hey, they're dressing like me, but they're not me. So anyway.
Now, I have a serious question for you. Do you love flapjacks?
I do. I'm the king of pancakes.
Okay. Because I looked up lumberjack facts, and that's number one. All lumberjacks love flapjacks.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah,
now, that's a competition
I
might have.
Of pancake. In my formula, yeah, it's unrivaled. It's the best. So just say it.
Can you share the formula?
I make my own maple syrup, and that stuff is like liquid velvet. It's brilliant.
Now, I saw in your video, I watched one of your log rolling videos, and you had a dog on your log doing it with you. Now,
I couldn't get him off.
I have an overweight half English bulldog, half beagle. Could you teach him how to do that? He could shed a few pounds.
I'd leave it to you. I don't think I'm going to try to teach that bulldog how to log roll unless he's really friendly.
He might fall asleep.
Did
on
the dog
log.
Beat you?
Yeah. No. Dogs usually is better if you get like another dog buddy and say, hey, let's go log roll, and they pick it up like that. But it's getting the first dog to do it. He usually doesn't understand why. Like, you know. It's like, it's a big stick, and I'm running on it. No, I don't get it. Like, I'll go for a swim or something.
Well, Darren, you have been a freaking awesome guest. I really enjoyed, you know, it's fun to get people, like, in all sorts of walks of life on this show. And, you know, you bring a sense of humor. You bring real-world experience. And it's really been a pleasure interviewing you.
Yeah, it was
excellent.
Well, I'm
glad you guys, you know, you weren't barking up the wrong tree, and, you know, you're getting to the roots of the sport, of course, you know. And
you know, I'm going to change my opinion real quick.
You missed my excellent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't get too sappy on me, bud.
Oh, man.
He has too many, Scott. I can't keep
up
with him.
Maybe the two of you should do a show together.
Ooh.
Hey,
the Burles and the
problem,
Bunyan.
I can just leave.
But Darren, if people want to check you out, I know you got a couple things going on. people want to check you out, look into what you do, contact you, you know, look at things, where do they go? What do you got to plug here?
Yeah, well, I can help you out with anything you want to know about Lumberjack. So if you want to get in touch with me, go to my website, wildaxe.com. That's my company, Wild Axe Productions.
I do need a tree removed.
Check me out, and we'll I'll help you. I'll facilitate your lumberjack needs for sure.
Mm. Okay. And what about the sport? What about the sport? Where do we go to check that out?
Yeah. Well, check us out everywhere. You will know about it. Wild Axe Productions is and Wild Axe Sports is out there, and we will be in your hometown. But there's other great lumberjack. You know, facilitators out there as well. So, I mean, it's all about, I want to see the lumberjack world grow. So however you make that happen, if you choose to come out and see me in Nova Scotia and do my lumberjack experience or join up with the, you know, private camps and all that stuff, you can do that or go see any of the my great friends, either they're on the East Coast, Eastern Seaboard of the States, or on the West Coast of Canada, all through Michigan. Do that. Find out what it's like, because once you get that feeling, you'll never forget it. You'll take it with you the rest of your life.
Do you know of anything in Jersey? Do they have anything going on in Jersey? I go to upstate New York every year, but...
Yeah, no, you usually have to go up to New York or Maine or down to West Virginia. Those are where the big camps are, that, you know, the competitions and stuff. And if you can find that stuff, yeah, it's unbelievable. There's great talent arising on the eastern coast of the States right now. So,
well, I'll be up in the Adirondacks in about 4 weeks. So if you got anywhere I can go up there, maybe I'll take a day and do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, the Finger Lakes region is just soaking with lumberjack passion. Something like that. Lots of it up there.
Last question. Do lumberjacks get chicks?
Yeah, I guess that's the word around the campfire.
I mean, he's got the sweet scar on the face, so that's got to get some right there.
Yeah, that's right. Scars do help, yeah. I have not just 50, 90 apparently, I guess. Ooh. So anyway, that's a whole other roadmap.
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right, Darren, it's been an absolute pleasure. I hope you had a good time, and thanks for calling in, man. It's been an excellent interview.
Very fun, yeah. Man.
Excellent. Sweet.
Excellent.
Thanks, guys.
I
saw
what you did there.
I did. I can't leave it.
I'm going to go axe myself after this.
I'll just branch out and leave.
Damn
all right,
it.
Well, I'm going to go leaf. Now.
Okay, get back to your roots, bud.
God, you keep winning.
Right. Cut above the rest.
I must have a chip on my shoulder when it comes to punning.
All right, you did a really pine job tonight. All right.
Oh, you're just pining now, aren't you? I know my jokes aren't that popular.
Darren, it's been great. Take care, man. Stay healthy, all right?
All right. Sounds good. Thank you,
brother.
Appreciate it.
That was freaking awesome, man. That was freaking awesome. That was so much fun.
Yeah, so I got 50 stitches in my face. I was back the next day, though. I took a half a day off. They called me a pussy.
I love these guys, man. I love getting these kind of people on the show.
Mm.
It's just...
Different,
like,
environments, good people, great fun.
You know, like, whenever you find someone that is just, like, into what they do, it doesn't matter what it is, you know. It could be freaking someone who loves to sew, you know. There's something interesting there. There's something, you know, there's something they can talk about. There's some reason they're into it. There's a backstory. This guy's got 5 generations in his family of doing it, you know. And
I just got that vision of, like, a guy riding a piece of lumber down the mighty river and all.
I know. You know, I'm like, we live these... it makes me, like, hate my life. You know, like...
It doesn't take much for me.
Bro, it's like, I have no interest in riding a tree. I will look trees up on Google. I would tweet every tree company out there. But,
Hey, Dollar Tree. See that? See what it did?
I did. But what a great guest, man. That was fun.
Man.
I really enjoyed it. That was one of my favorites, man. He's just, you know what I like about a guest like that? He just, he lets the show go. Like, yeah. The show is on him, and he just takes it.
He understands we want to hear about him, and he just lets it go, and we feed him, and he keeps going, man.
Yeah, that was awesome. But so, I mean, we're getting close to the end here, but right before we had Darren on, we were talking about some of the people we were trying to get on the show.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the list. Now, here's a little insight to a little behind-the-scenes Verbal Shenanigans stuff, as if any of you cared. But we, like I said, we spend some time. We take about 15 minutes and just spitball ideas. Go, go, go. Now, it's funny because, like, a lot of times after that, we've had, like, 3 or 4 beers. So, sometimes when we read them back, I'm like, I forgot I even said that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, read through a couple, bro. You got the list up. Right. Just read through a couple.
You know what? Pick a number, I'll check the field.
40.
Bobby Bonilla.
Bobby Bonilla, who
just got $2 million today.
Who just got paid today. Oh, the stars are aligned tonight. Bobby Bonilla, for my beloved Mets, someone put up a stat today. Bobby Bonilla is making more money than Matt Harvey, Jacob DeGrom, Noah Syndergaard, and Steven Matz. The only chance we have to make the playoffs. Those four guys.
So amazing.
Bobby Bonilla's agent. Not Bobby Bonilla himself. His agent should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That guy basically said, okay, you don't want me? Pay me for the next 25 years. I never have to work another day in my life.
Yeah. Never. I mean, he's the only one. Like, all these other former athletes are like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I got to go into broadcasting. I got to do a commercial for some auto car sales thing.
He's like, I got my check coming in mm-hmm. in July.
I haven't picked up a bat in 7 years.
Like, oh, God, he's just... And it's perfect that it happens to Mets because they're like the butt of every joke, but it's like whoever negotiated that deal is a goddamn genius. All right.
Good number. This is fun.
All right. 17. These might be more the real ones.
17, that's Detlef Schrempf or George Marison.
Detlef Schrempf for George Marison. George Marison came into my restaurant when I waitered in college.
Really?
Yeah. He came in and...
what's he, like 7'6"?
Bigger than... He might be, I don't know. He's huge. Like, the biggest human I've ever seen.
I mean, that's got to be so inconvenient going anywhere because everywhere you go, you just notch down.
Well, not only that, people are going to look at you because your height.
Yeah.
Automatically, but then once people recognize you, they're going to look at you too. So he comes in, he has to duck through like the door to get in and like into the dining room. So he's eating, his knees are above the table. He looks so uncomfortable. His wife must have been 6'6", and she looked short, you know? Like,
yeah.
But you know what, George? I have no sympathy for you because you apparently were a 14% tipper.
Oh.
And you were in a movie with Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
So George, not a fan.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
We're going to tell you off when you come on Verbal Shenanigans.
Those waiters and waitresses work hard. Work hard. And Detlef Schrempf. Back to my Sonics love. All right. Let's do 3 more. 27.
Luke Skywalker / the Joker, Mark Hamill.
Oh, yeah. That would be an easy one to get. Mm-hmm. Especially with the new Star Wars movie. I'm sure he's available
nothing.
To come on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so looking forward to that movie. I'm so looking forward to it. I think he's going to get it right, man.
Yeah,
I think J.J. Abrams, he has too much respect for it to get it wrong.
It's not only that. It's also like Disney now owning the thing, owning Star Wars. They know we got a hit with this. Because if it looks bad, people are going to look at them like, Disney, you screwed up again.
Yeah, and it's just like there's too much at stake. There's too much at stake. Even if it's not amazing... It's got to be average at least because of the other ones.
Yep.
All right. 52.
Hideo Nomo. Couldn't find him on Twitter.
Hideo Nomo. Yes. Famous for pitching where he turned almost completely around.
He had the weirdest... wind up, and the funny thing, he was great for a while, but when he started struggling, everybody's like, I don't know what to tell you. Have you thought about stretching back another 10 feet?
All right, one more. How many numbers are on the whole list?
We have numbers from 3 to...
Does that mean we accomplished 1 and 2?
3 through 85, skip 53. No, we just I just started on line three.
We could we can cross off Lumberjack. I know that was on there somewhere.
The Lumberjack game was number 44.
There you go. Let's go high. Let's go high in the 77. Deuce sevens.
Greg Louganis. Olympic diver.
Hit his head on the board. Age.
Yeah.
So this is a little insight to what we do, and maybe we'll do this right after we end here. And I think we're going to bring it to an end. What a great podcast. I love being with you people. I really do.
Even me?
Well, no. But at this point, you're necessary. So I can't shed you. You know, I really had a good time today. Burley, you got anything to plug? Anything going on? Friends of the cast?
I'm going to do Friends of the Cast. Woo! And I'm going to tell people that in a second I will tell you that not to give a hint away to a future podcast, but if you're a NASCAR fan, August 2nd, NASCAR returns to Pocono Raceway.
Yes.
That weekend, they will have the Craftsman Truck Series on Saturday. And they
Craftsman
will have the
Trucks, those are like the Micro Machines, right?
No, those are the stock car trucks.
They're the ones where you put the wheel forward and the slot racers, they go around?
No. In fact, I screwed up. It's a Camping World Series now. They changed sponsors.
That's where you have a pickup truck with a tent in the bed.
No, that would slow down the truck, Scott.
That's the challenge. It's like driving with a parachute.
No.
With a camper in the back?
No.
It's a lumberjack show. Okay.
Ask me later. God. I win. Yes. And Sunday, August 2nd, of course, the Cup guys come back. Jersey boy Martin Truex Jr. won the last race. Can he do it again for little Furniture Row Company racing?
Furniture Row?
Furniture.
That's where I know what that is.
Okay.
Where, you know, instead of pit row, it's where there's a lot of furniture that they have to get around. Right.
But that would slow them down during the race, Scott.
That's exactly, Berlo. They get around the big couches, especially those like C couches with the ottomans. They're really hard to get around. And then the hardest part of it, guys, hardest part of it, audience, is that all the pit crew has to sit on the furniture while fixing the car. You heard it here.
I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but something tells me I have to teach you about NASCAR before a certain time.
Well, it may never happen. But, you know, I mean the learning.
Yeah.
The learning part.
And other than that, I will be down at Ocean City, Maryland eventually. I'll figure out the dates for Princess Royale, Waves of Comedy. Johnny Watson is down there this 4th of July weekend. A friend of mine, Tom Mongelli, he's going down there to host.
Oh, all right. And I will promote two things. July 25th, I'll be at Bust a Gut Comedy Club. And the 26th, I'll be at Tierney's in Montclair. Okay, so you can come see my comedy two nights there. And, of course, August 30th is approaching quickly, and that is the third Verbal Shenanigans show with headliner Mike Gaffney.
Woo.
And then McDonald and Carney feature spot. So you're getting two headline acts for one, Ritu Chandra guest spot, and I will be hosting, and we'll see what else goes on. But we're going to come to the end here, and and the T-shirt sale will happen soon. Just waiting for the files, people. I know you're all waiting on the edge of your seat, but it will go to.
Yeah, I'm going shirtless right now.
It will go to a good cause. So, in the end, it'll
putting
all be
a shirt on my naked body.
We probably crowd raise more money for that than for kids with cancer. But anyway, people, life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep doing it. You're back. Keep following us at VS Comedy and check out Darren Hudson. Bye.
I'm gonna go re-axe. Okay. He sits all night and he works all day. I cut down trees, I skip and jump. I like to press wildflowers. I put on women's clothing and hang around in bars. He cuts down trees, he skips and jumps. He likes to press wildflowers. He puts on women's clothing and hangs around in bars.
He's a lumberjack and he's okay. He sleeps all night and he works all day.
I cut down trees, I wear a heel, suspenders and a bra. I wish I'd been a girly, just like my dear papa.
I cut down trees, I wear a heel, suspenders and a bra.
I wish I'd been a girly, just like my dear papa.
Oh, Freddy!